My name is Chano Trevino. I am the junior high director here at Guts Church. I've actually been at Guts Church 12 years, and I've been on staff for 8 years working with the youth. Wow, that's really bassy. And my voice, people have told me I have a real deep voice. Man, it's such an honor to work on staff here. The example that Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy have set for me and my family is huge in our lives. Being on staff here, being upstairs, being in meetings, and everything we do is to help people win. I love being a part of that. Every conversation, every meeting, everything we're doing is trying to figure out how can we help people win. And I love being a part of this team. I love that my family has only known Guts Church. I mean, I have 4 kids, and I did the math. My oldest is about to be 9, and my youngest is 3. So I had 4 kids in 5 years and 8 months. So it's impressive. Not a lot of people can do it. We don't travel a lot. We don't eat out at restaurants a lot. But they're a joy. I have 3 little girls, Isabel, Elena, and Sophia. And then my son, CJ. We named him Chano because it took so long to get to him. I want him to have a great name. And so we call him CJ, though, because my wife said we couldn't call him Chano. My wife, Tara Trevino, is here. We've been married 10 years in April. I know you're thinking he looks too young to be married 10 years. Here, get it all the time. I'm going to pray. And we are currently doing a series on relationships, and I'm just going to speak to that, a little bit of my point of view and my experience, and just go to God's word with it. So let's pray real quick. Father God, we love you. God, we thank you for this great day. God, that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, that the soil of our hearts would be good soil this morning. God, that we would receive your word. God, teach us something new. Show us something fresh. God, do a new thing in us in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not raised going to church all the time. So it's funny that I get the opportunity to speak on relationships because growing up, I had a very skewed view on relationships. I used to genuinely look at marriage and look at love as like, why would people want that? So many emotions involved, heartbreak. It was literally a bad thing to me. I would look at it and think, what, people are choosing to do this? Like they're choosing to open up their hearts to get hurt, and they're choosing to get married and struggle through. It didn't make sense to me because I had no idea that there was awesome marriages and Christians that loved God. Like I had a skewed point of view. And I remember I got, and it's funny because I'll never forget, I had literally had a mom come up to me and say, I'd appreciate if you would never date my daughter. You know, good news. And she said, and I, hook, line, and sinker here, I lived in Oregon. I will give you 4 tickets to a Seattle Mariners game if you agree to never date my daughter. Yes, ma'am, thank you very much. Took the tickets. No, like I didn't look at it like I was a bad kid. I looked at it like I got 4 free Mariners tickets. I love baseball. And I was that guy. I mean, I remember hearing it again right after I got saved, actually. There was a lady who said something similar to me. And God really changed my life in that year. In 1 year span, God did a whole lot of things. I went on to do an internship at a place called Team Mania Ministries with Sean Schaefer and Chris Hart and Jeremy Bedell. My wife was on staff there at the time. And God showed me some things. I mean, he showed me where I was very wrong at some things. He renewed my mind on marriage and what God has it to be and how it's supposed to be an example to people and how we're supposed to live. And it really, for me, it broke some things in me. It took me from this guy who viewed it as emotional, heartbreak, gross, why would you do that, to like, wow, this is God's plan. Man, God genuinely has brought, he wants to bring somebody into my life, man, to help me, to love me, that I can love, and it's been an amazing process. And so this lady, right after I graduated high school and just got saved, I went to work for her. She worked at an assisted living home. If you've never worked at a nursing home, don't. I worked there a couple summers, and I learned about serving, and I learned about, it's gross. And I remember when I started working there, she made a comment similar to that lady. She didn't offer me free baseball tickets, so it was a little frustrating. But she had mentioned that, and just in talking, she was very open. And after working with her for 2 summers, and I was getting ready to come up to go to ORU, she pulled me into her office, and she said, I know you're going off to college. She wrote me like an extra check and said, I want to bless you for your travels and all that down there. And she said, I just want you to know that I hope my daughter finds a guy like you. And I don't think she remembered what she had said to me 2 years before, but it affected me because I thought God had done a work on the inside of me. It wasn't me. I was the same weird Mexican kid. It was that God had done something in me and had changed something. And it wasn't just apparent to me, but now it was becoming apparent to other people. And so I started dating my wife. I was a junior at Oral Roberts University, and had a group of friends, and we always hung out. And I went to my best friend, Sean Schaefer, who was also my roommate, and I said, "Sean, I like this girl." He's like, "Who is it?" And I was like, "Tara Land." He was like, "Oh, you're going to mess up our friendship dynamics." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "What if she doesn't like you?" And I was just thinking, like, that's an option? Like, she cannot like me back? I really think this is, okay. And so it, like, gets you thinking. I'm like, I better pray harder. Like, what if she doesn't like me back? Let's pray this in. And so you go through this whole process battling, and for the first time, I'd opened up my heart to somebody. For the first time, I was ready to see what God had in store, but more key to do it the right way. I had heard stories of people being at ORU, started coming to Guts Church at T-Mania, people that had done it the right way, and I loved it. I love that we could have that story to say, man, I honored God in my dating relationship. I honored God. And so I remember asking her, actually, well, I wasn't smooth. You know, you feel like you're going to be smooth when that moment comes. I remember saying, "Hey, can I meet you here?" And, you know, we're friends. So it's like, yeah. And so we get to walk in, and she says, "Did you bring me here for a reason?" And you just start sweating in that moment. I'm like, yeah, yes. And I remember just looking at her, and I just said, "Well, I like you." And there was just a pause, and I'm like, "Please say it back. Please say it back." And then after it felt like 30 minutes, but I'm sure it was just a couple seconds, she said, "I like you too." And it was crazy because that was the beginning. That was it. That was me saying, "Hey, I like you. I'd like to pursue you." Within 6 months, I remember I told her I love you for the first time, and then 6 months after that, I proposed, and 6 months later, we were married, and then 6 years later, we had four kids. So it's a lot of sixes. I mean, it's four kids. Good times, but being here has been a huge help to me because we have elders that are married. We have strong ministry couples that are married. We have Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, and it is such a great example. But growing up in relationships, I didn't know where to look, and I didn't know where to go. And it's key that our young people, it's key that us as adults, it's key to new believers that we know where to go and that we know where to look when it comes to relationships. It is so key. It is so key, and I think this is whether you're single and you're being patient, whether you're married and you're struggling, whether your marriage is strong and it just needs to be stronger. I think no matter where you're at in life, we need to know where to look and we need to know where to go. And so I'm going to break that down a little bit this morning for you guys, and you've heard enough about me, and I kind of want to jump in to God's word a little bit, and I'm going to start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And, you know, it's funny, I've never correlated this verse to relationships in my entire life, ever. And it's just so cool to how God's word really does tie into our life. It ties into who we are and what we're doing and what we're about. And that's what makes God's word so exciting and so amazing. And I'm going to do a little plug here. Man, if you have little kids, challenge them to memorize God's word. I started doing this simple little thing on the way to school with my kids. And I would literally just have them repeat verses that I had memorized while we're in the car. It's what we do on the way to school. We hit this certain spot on our trip, and they'll say, "Dad, verses." And we start saying verses. And I'm telling you, it is the most powerful thing when you hear a little five-year-old say, "Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world." Or you have a little seven-year-old quoting John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. I mean, it's unbelievable to hear them say those words. And it just started as on the way to school, why wouldn't I tell them verses? Why wouldn't I share with them? So I want to challenge you guys. If you have kids, man, make sure they know God's word and make sure it's coming out of the word. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And as I'm saying it and as they're saying it, it's just building up our faith on the way to school. And they go to public school, so I want their faith to be built up. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I'll never forget, my daughter came home. She goes, "Dad, I heard a kid say the F word today." And I was like, "Public school, she's second grade. How can she hear it?" And I was like, so I kind of started thinking, maybe there's another F word she's thinking about. I don't know. She's in second grade, and she goes, "A kid said fart." I was like, "Oh, bad kid, that bad kid." I'm smiling. I'm so happy that it was that F word. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the heart of the Father, making his strength available, especially in my weakness. That's the heart of God. He wants to make his strength available in our weakness. And this is a primary trait of being a godly father and being in covenant relationships. Realizing that in our weakness, he's made strong. Man, that it's us turning to him and saying, God, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't figure this out. And letting him be strong in us. And especially for being a dad. My dad is unbelievable right now. He loves God. He's on the right track. But growing up, he wasn't a godly dad. He wasn't. And it's just so cool. God did a traumatic turnaround in his life when I was about 18 years old. And he is a completely different man. But I didn't know what it was like to be a godly dad. And it's difficult because you want, like I see my daughters, I want them, I'm already thinking, I want them to be with the right people. I want them to know what they're going to do in life. And already asking them questions if there's anything on the inside of them. The same thing with my son. But to be a great dad, I have to know that God, even in my weakness, he's going to be made strong. Even when I'm not sure what to do. And the same thing in relationships, where we're not sure what to do or where to go, and that we kind of feel like that. And I think it's hard because we want to muster up the strength ourselves. We want to figure it out ourselves instead of just turning to God. Because in our weakness, he wants to be made strong. He wants to do it. He wants to be the one that gives us that strength. Why? So we rely on him. So whether we're weak, we're strong, whether we're base, we abound, whatever it is, we are content and we are turning to him, not ourselves. And that's so key. And I think so much for guys. I think naturally as guys, we want to figure it out. We want to grind it out. We want to know how to do it. But to be a godly dad, to be a godly husband, man, we have to know that we can turn to him even in our times of weakness. Because he then, I'm going to read it again. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I think it's hard to say that we ever feel weak. I think it's difficult to say, gosh, I feel weak right now. But God is saying that his grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect. Perfect strength. I think we all want to walk in perfect strength. I want to be perfectly strong as a father. I want to be perfectly strong as a husband. So I got to know that his grace is sufficient, that in my weakness, he's made strong. I did not have an understanding of marriage. I'm still gaining an understanding of being a father. I did not know, but in my weakness, God is making his strength perfect on the inside of me. Man, I'm looking in his word. I'm looking to other people. My wife and I met with about 4 or 5 couples and just said, help us. Tell us something. We would set up dinners with these different couples because I wanted to have a strong marriage. And I knew I hadn't really seen it growing up. So I wanted to meet with people and just say, tell us. I mean, there's things that I learned. Sean Schaefer's mom sat us down one time. She gave us a book. We went through it. I mean, there was just so many things that people blessed us with. And I believe our marriage is strong because we sought that out. Because we didn't just say, hey, I think I got it figured out now. I've been saved 4 or 5 years now. I go to church all the time. I'm part-time staff at God. I think I know what's going on. No, we need help. Man, in our weakness has made us perfect strength. A great relationship isn't about knowing all the answers. It's about knowing where to find the answers. Man, that's key. We got to know where to look. We got to know where to go. So a great relationship isn't saying, I have all the answers. It's saying, I know where to find the answers. And obviously, it's God's word, God's people, and God's house. I mean, those three things have been so key in my life. I am where I am now because of God's word, because of God's people, and because of God's house. And if we do not divert from those three things, we will have great marriages, we will raise great kids. I mean, the world will truly be able to look at the church and say, we need what they have. They know how to parent. They know how to stay married. But man, if we quit turning to God's word, if we quit turning to God's people, to God's house, we're not going to be the example the world needs, because the world definitely needs an example. The world isn't quite sure how to parent anymore. The world isn't quite sure on how to stay married anymore. It's very difficult. It's work. It's because we get to that weakness point, and sometimes we run, as opposed to turning to God so he can, man, his strength can be made perfect in us. Okay, let's go to God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why can we turn to God's word? Because he's given us everything we need pertaining to life, being a husband, being a wife, being a mom, being a dad, being a kid, whatever it is. He has given us everything pertaining to that because that's part of our life. God cares about the details. God truly is in the details of our life. And he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's what his word says. His word says everything we need, he's given it. If it has to do with your life, he's given it to you. Man, he's taking care of you. Everything. Everything pertaining to your life. Everything you need to know, and the struggles and the great points. Man, he's given you everything you need to know pertaining to life and godliness. So he's given us everything we need to know about being a dad, mom, husband, wife, brother, sister, whatever the relationships are. My focus today is going to be mainly on marriage and kids. But the reality is everything pertaining to life. What are you going through in your life? What are you dealing with in your life? He's given you everything pertaining to that and being godly in that. And I love it. I love that thought of just, I love when I get to speak to youth kids and just saying everything you need pertaining to life and godliness, everything you're going to encounter, God has an answer. God knows. God wants to take care of it. I love that. Like, my kids, if something's wrong, I want to help. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I'm not the best. My daughter won a helicopter at GK Jam last Sunday, right? And it is run by your iPhone, already over my head. I can do a remote control with a wire on it. That's where I go. Then I've gone to technology sound. So I had to download an app onto my phone to fly a helicopter in my house. And every kid's like, Dad, you can do it. And I'm like, you're right, because I'm really good, you know, with computers and phones and stuff, right? So I'm holding my iPhone in my hand. And we put the helicopter in the middle of the room. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping it's going to fly. There's multiple people in the church. I'm thinking I should call Jim Henderson. He would know how to do this. He probably built it himself. He'll know how to do this. But my kids want me to do it. They want Dad to do it. And I'm just nervous, right? And it's funny because I got it in the air, okay? I ran into the ceiling. I ran into the walls. I might have hit a kid or two, but we had fun. It was a good time. But it's just neat when they turn to you. You want to be, and God's the same way. Whatever has to deal with your life, big, little, small, huge, God's the same way I am as a dad. He is with us. We're his kids. He wants to help us. He wants to take care of us. He wants us to turn to him in his weakness. He wants to celebrate with us. Man, I love celebrating my kids. I love helping my kids. I love being there for my kids. How much more God? How much more God, our Father? Please remember that as a dad, and please remember that as a child of God, everything pertaining to life and God. He's given us everything. Everything that we need. He wants to help us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to meet our needs. And so we should be with our kids. We celebrate with them. We cry with them. I have three girls. They cry about outfits. That makes no sense to me. That makes zero sense to me. And they say it's going to get worse with age. And so I'm praying harder every day because I'm not a crier. I don't even know how to deal with it. It's so easy with my son. Get up. And then with your daughter, you just want to embrace it. It's just different. It's difficult. And of course, he's a guy, so he's not allowed to cry. All right, God's people. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Your plans are established in a multitude of counselors. If you think about people that are going to build a building, I mean, everything they have to go through to build that building, we're building a life. We're building a life in God. Man, we have to go to a multitude of counselors. Like I said, when we first got married, we found people who had, actually, I found a couple who had four boys because I always wanted four boys. I'm like, let's meet with them. They'll know how to tell us. And obviously, I remember my third girl. I have three girls, right? I wanted a boy every time because I think as a guy, that's what you want. But then by the time you've had two girls, you're thinking, okay, God, I've learned my lesson. I'm ready for little Chano. And I'll never forget she said, it's a girl. And I said, no, you need to check again, ma'am. And she did and took a picture and showed me exactly why it was a girl. And I thought, okay. And I looked at my wife and I said, what if we have four kids? And so we did. But without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Guys, everything you want to do in life, find God's people. Man, there are elders in this church that they have done life and they have done it amazingly. Man, use them. Find them. They're up here. We're going to avail them at the end of service for prayer. So whether you're single and you're looking, or being patient, as I should say, if you're married or in a relationship and you're struggling, or you're strong and you just want to get stronger, we avail them. Man, make the most of that. Please make the most of that. The Bible talks about being humble all the time, and I think that's so key. Because if we go into it thinking, I'm good, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Be careful. You start thinking you're good and the enemy's going to swoop in. So I challenge you guys, man, we've been given wise counsel here at Guts Church. You don't have to go outside these walls. We've been given people who can help us get us where we need. We have amazing ministry couples, people that have been in the church a long time. That, man, they have answers. They've been in God's word. They've been through it, and we need to utilize that. Okay, God's house. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 16, going through 25. I read fast, so we should be okay. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering to sin. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, I'm going to start calling people brethren, right? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God is amazing. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day coming. Okay, so I'm going to break that down a little bit, not like Greek or Hebrew or anything like that, but I'm going to take some basic points out of that, and I'm just going to enlighten them a little bit, because there's so much key stuff in here that we can read it and be like, oh, that was good, or we can really look at it and say, okay, God, what is it? What am I learning? Why is this important? Why is it in your word? And I'm going to start off with, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. As we get saved, and as we begin to seek God, he's putting it in our hearts, and he's writing. I mean, think about that. It says, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. God is writing. I mean, he is writing on the inside of us. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's how amazing God is. He wants us to know it. He wants us to live it. He wants us to walk it out. So he's writing it on the inside of us. That's the social you're thinking, how do I know? Because God's writing it on the inside of you. God's writing it in our minds. He's writing it in our hearts, because that's the heart of God. He's not sitting there thinking, oh, I hope you find the answer. It's going to be difficult. That's not God. Let us draw near with a true heart. The Bible says if we draw near to him, and James says if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. But I love how it says, let us draw near with a true heart. Man, that your heart's got to be in the right place. So much to do with Christianity has to do with our heart. So much flows through that place is our heart. Let us draw near to God and let us do it with a true heart. It says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So what have you done? It's been washed. Man, evil conscience, I just think about that. The devil wants to bring stuff up from our past or whatever it is. And it's funny because he's just washing us. God's washing. It's done. It's over. I did not have a great, amazing past. My future is impressive because God is in it. And God has washed me of that past. So whatever you're in here, and whatever you did yesterday, this morning, it's been washed, it's clean. Thank you, God, that it's been washed and it's clean. And that's how we go forward. That's how we become better. And that's part of it is humbling yourself, saying, thank you, God. Man, I messed up. I messed up. And that's how we get strengthened. And our weakness is his perfect strength. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. I want to focus on without wavering. Because I think we can hold fast to what we know God has for us, but without wavering. Galatians 6:9 said, do not let us grow weary in doing good, because in due season we'll reap a harvest. Do not let us grow weary in doing good. There's going to be an opportunity to grow weary, but don't. Because in due season, God has something great for you. Too many people jump ship before that great thing God was going to do in them, because it got difficult, because they felt weak. And all God wants to do is perfect his strength on the inside of us. The key is we have to turn to him. The key is we have to hold fast that confession without wavering. Don't waver in it. Stand strong. Confess his word. Man, Pastor Bill has shown that so amazingly to me. Something will happen and it'll want to mess with my thinking. And he'll say, God always provides. And he'll say, God's always the healer. And he says those things and it feels like the most not opportune time. Like, what? I feel like I'm seeing something totally different than what you're saying. But he's just decided he's going to stand without wavering. He's going to hold fast. And he's not going to waver. And it's made that on the inside of me. And I do it with my kids. He who promises faithful. God who promised us is faithful. You may have had people in your life who have not been. You may not have been faithful, but God who promised is faithful. Whatever's in his word, God is faithful to it. He says it. He who promised is faithful. So whatever you're dealing with, relationship-wise, life-wise, he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to perform his word. Okay, now I'm going to get to the good stuff. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Man, as I see other, we have some key couples that are in our lives. The Schaefers, the Harts, the Bedells, the Laws, the Swags. Different couples that we're kind of connected with in life. And I'm telling you, as you see them doing good, it stirs something on the inside of you to want to also do good. So I want to challenge you guys, make sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people, with the right couples. Man, if you want to be strong in marriage, get around people who have a strong marriage. That's so simple. It's so easy, but oh my gosh, my time. Listen, I know. I understand. I have a 3, 5, 7, and 9-year-old. I understand time. So there was a storm last night, right? So you can guess, only 2 kids came to our bed, so that wasn't horrible. But now we have a little dog. It's this big. That's the first storm we've had since we had the dog. And so I guess thunder bothers dogs, and he just yapped. He's a toy Yorkie. He weighs 3 pounds, right? You can punt him, but you don't because he's a dog, and we love dogs, Shauna. We love dogs. All right. So now I got a barking dog, and now I have two kids. I literally got kicked out of my bed last night from the thunderstorm, and I slept in a car bed. Good times, right? So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to not have time, but the reality is we have to make time. The reality is if we want to be great, we got to put ourselves around great people. And there are great people at this church. There are great marriages in this house. There are great examples here. Man, you got to seek them out. You got to find a way to get around them. Last 2 points. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Let us not forsake coming together and doing this, like some people have. That's the key. You're not going to feel like going to church every Sunday, but you come. You're not going to feel like coming in here and being at a men's meeting or women's meeting because something else came up. Make time. Find a way. Let us not forsake. Don't forsake this. Don't forsake coming together, hearing about God's word, being challenged by God's word, singing God's songs, having an opportunity to give. Don't forsake doing this because some have. Some people have done that. Some people have said, you know what, I'm good. I'm not going to do that anymore. And the reality is this. If we don't forsake that, God, there's something in it for us. Man, we're around the right people. It's about knowing where to go. It's about knowing what you need to be a part of. That is the key to relationships. So much of it is about knowing God's word, being around God's people, and being in God's house. Don't forsake the assembling of one another, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. You come in here and somebody can challenge you. You come in here and somebody can just exhort you. Great job. Man, I know I get excited about whatever we're celebrating, whether it's 10 years of marriage or my kid's birthday or whatever it is, or my kids do something cool, and there's just people are celebrating. It is so neat. We got to exhort one another. We got to challenge one another. That happens in this house. Not if you stay on the outside. You got to come to the middle. You got to come in a little more to the core. You got to make sure that you're getting here when the doors are open. One of the best things Pastor Bill ever said, he said, be 15 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late. I was an ORU student coming to Guts Church. I'd been to a couple other churches. And I heard him say that, and that made a huge effect on my life. Because you come early and you're going to eventually get into a conversation. Somebody's going to talk to you, whether you like it or not. And if you stay late, same thing. You're going to get to know people. And I'm telling you, God's people, man, there's something on the inside of them in God's house. So I want to challenge you guys, when it comes to relationships, let's turn to God's word. Let's look at God's people, and let's make sure we don't forsake coming together in God's house like some have. Let us be the example for marriage. Let us be the example of parenting, because we can be. It's in us. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.